Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
Order a free English lesson with us at www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
Maniacs. She's the model linguistic.
Oh, yes.
What can be more beautiful than a colorful intonation or the usage of subjunctive one? It is Asia.
Woo! Yay.
And we are sure that he's going to rock his beard in the Antarctic. What was it?
Expedition.
In the Arctic. Yes.
The Arctic is somewhat closer.
Yeah. Well, there are no limits. So.
For the beard.
For the beard, yes. Whenever he is there, yeah. And it is Daniel.
Woohoo!
And what can I say about myself?
She's the one who cares about the introductions. Randish.
Yeah. There is a deceptively still body of water in Tanzania, okay, with a deadly secret. It turns any animal it touches to stone. The rare phenomenon is caused by the chemical makeup of the lake, but the petrified creatures it leaves behind are straight out of a horror film. There are photographs that you can find in the internet by Nick Brand of these petrified creatures that pepper the area around the lake due to its constant pH of 9 to 10.5, an extremely basic alkalinity that preserves these creatures for eternity. Nick, the photographer, says no one knows for certain exactly how they die, but it appears that the extreme reflective nature of the lake's surface confuses them. Like birds crushing into plate glass windows, they crush into the lake. The water has an extremely high soda and salt content that causes the creatures to calcify, perfectly preserved as they dry. I'm going to send you a link, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
We should go there.
That's scary.
Take a look at the pictures.
Oh, man. Is that real? It's not Photoshop?
No, it's real.
How about fish in that lake? Is there any?
I doubt it. I think that they turned into a stone and somewhere. Maybe they are, you know, at the bottom of this lake, just as pebbles.
But, you know, there are microorganisms in the lake. Why haven't they petrified?
There are different microorganisms.
Yeah.
Maybe they only contribute to the...
There are only the organisms that can survive in those conditions.
I'd like to go to Pripyat as well.
It's
The Chernobyl...
The ghost city.
I'd like to see that. I guess it's also very scary.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like in the internet, there are a lot of photos of places, you know, abandoned places, train stations, abandoned...
Oh, that's scary, isn't that?
Abandoned...
Kindergartens.
that's creepy.
you remember the beginning of the Titanic, mm-hmm. when you can see the head of a doll on the bottom of the ocean?
One of the scariest moments.
Yeah, you remember that?
In all the movies I've seen.
How could you not remember that?
Well, I haven't watched this so many times. I watched it like two or three times.
Do you remember anything?
I rarely remember heads of dolls that lie at the bottom of the ocean.
That's a very important symbol.
Made a stress on it.
Yeah.
This film did not mean a lot in my life.
How dare you?
I understand that it's a masterpiece, but and I understand why you like it. But like for me, it's not that meaningful.
But anyway, talking about deserted places and kindergartens, heads of dolls on the bottom of the ocean. I think it's very touchy. It's kind of thought provoking to see the objects that were supposed to bring joy abandoned for eternity.
They sometimes have photos of the clinics, like psychiatric hospitals.
Oh yeah, that's also and scary.
Morgues.
And morgues, yeah.
And places where they tortured people.
Oh goodness! Have you heard the audio records of people who have like mental diseases, like schizophrenia?
Well, I haven't, luckily, but I've heard that there are such records.
Yes. Oh goodness, it's scary. And well, it's very educational.
Yeah.
What have you learned from them?
It's kind of difficult because I have listened to them quite a long time ago.
I don't listen to them very often.
Not like every day.
Every day. Often when I have some free time.
But it's like there are different diseases. Like for example, I'm interested in psychopathy. Psychopathy. Is it psychopathy?
Oh, you mean there are different genres?
Yeah, yes. It depends on the you know, on the disease. Yes.
Psychopathy, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder.
Yes, it's like
bipolar personality disorder.
And like person who has different personalities, and there are recordings of like one person, just one man, and each of his personalities, and there are people who had a lobotomy done.
Is it still done?
No, it's because they are very old.
This is a surgical operation in course of which your brain is damaged so bad that you turn into a vegetable for the rest of your life.
Why
to placate the insane?
Yes.
Why wasn't it easier to kill them? Wouldn't it be more human?
It would be punished by law. Back then, lobotomy wasn't punished by law. It was a medical experiment. It was absolutely lawful.
So if you're considered insane, like, do you remember The Beautiful Mind? He was in the hospital, but he wasn't... I think that they wanted to lobotomize him. But they used this the shock therapy... All those inhuman methods, and I guess not very long time ago, actually, lobotomy was one of these methods to cure the insane.
Yeah, forever.
So they would not be dangerous because many, quite a high percentage of these people who have mental diseases, they are dangerous, and they are aggressive. And if you are lobotomized, you are no longer aggressive. You are just a vegetable. You know, with a drooling mouth, doesn't do anything.
No.
Yeah. I was always scared that sort of thing, you can't really control it. I mean, you don't have any option. Like, if your relatives decide to send you to
lobotomize?
I don't know, like, to this hospital, and you can't really get out of it. Do you remember the Cuckoo Nest and, again, The Beautiful Mind? They were forced to stay there. And if I'm not mistaken, I already told you about this, the book, The Psychopath Test by John Ronson. He visited a lot of these hospitals, clinics where mentally ill...
What do you think? What's the percentage of mentally healthy people in mental clinics?
Oh, yes. It's... hard to say, because you know he said about a guy who went to this hospital because he wanted to avoid prison. He could be either treated in
hospitalized or sent to prison.
Yes, but actually he said that it is difficult to get into a hospital. For him, it was difficult, but to get out of it. It was even more difficult because you can't prove that you are cured. You can say, I'm cured.
Nobody believes me.
Let me out. Yeah. and they will not believe you. If you say that, if you pretend that you are not cured, you will, of course they will continue. Because this writer, he said that he visited this guy and he looked normal. If other people, if other mentally ill people who were, you know, how do you call it, who were in this clinic, they all wore this home clothes, so, you know, whatever they were in these hospitals. But he was, you know, in a spotless suit, and he was really well-groomed, and he looked normal, you know, like a person that you could meet on the, on the street. And he said that even if you look normal, you try to wear those clothes. Yeah, you do anything, and they do not believe you. They think that you are a psychopath.
Pretending.
Yes, that they think that it's one of the signs of psychopathy. If he had gone to prison, he would have been already outside. He would, like, for already four or 5 years, he would have been free. But he is in this mental hospital for already like 6 or 7 years. And so he had made the wrong choice.
I have a story to tell. Last year, when I just moved to St. Petersburg, I shared an apartment with my friend, and she had a dog, a Doberman. And when we started working, I guess the Doberman was a bit stressed, and it barked while we were at work. And one day we come home and we see that our window is broken. Somebody threw a stone into our window. And there was only one option, our neighbor, whose window was right opposite ours, that could throw this stone. So we went to see that neighbor. And when the door opened, we saw a very strange guy, you know, the one you could probably see in a horror movie. He was very tall, very thin, and he looked very scary. So he opened the door and he said, "Come in, I was waiting for you." And we were like, "Well, we'd rather stay outside. We just wanted to ask you not to throw any stones in our window because, you know, the dog is stressed, blah, blah, blah." And he's like, "Yes, it was me who threw a stone. And I will do that again because your dog was barking." And we repeated what we just said again, but the same results. So finally we just left, and then we called a guy who could fix the window. And while the guy was measuring the window, the scissors went right into our apartment from that window. And the guy, that guy who threw the scissors, was standing and laughing. So we finally realized that he was a kind of a maniac. He was mentally ill. So we called the police. The police came, and we said that our neighbor is attacking us with stones and scissors. Can you please hospitalize him? But the point is, the police did nothing. They went to see that guy. He didn't open the door, and that was it. So basically, in our country, unfortunately, if you have a mentally sick neighbor or acquaintance who is haunting you or stalking you, talking you, he won't be hospitalized, and nothing will be done unless you are seriously injured or there is evidence that this guy is at fault. Can you imagine that? I don't even know why. I mean, there was evidence that the guy attacked us with scissors. And of course there should have something been done, because, I mean, today it was scissors, tomorrow it would be something more dangerous.
Well, they can set fire to your apartment.
They can set fire, they can, yeah, do something worse, but nothing was done. So it's better not to leave a dog alone.
Yeah.
That's the message.
That can annoy your neighbor.
It can annoy your neighbor. And he said, "I was annoyed."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I wonder what Maria Stoltz meant.
With clowns, yes or no? Should there be clowns as a form of amusement?
Oh.
Or not?
No.
No, absolutely
not. Do you like clowns?
No.
Oh.
I'm afraid of them. I'm scared of them.
But what child likes clowns?
I haven't met any child There, I haven't met any single child who likes clowns. Every child is afraid of clowns, is terrified by clowns,
mm-hmm.
depressed and scared.
Then why are they there, like in circuses and those? Actually, I heard a story. It was in September in England. Do you know the Pennywise from King's It?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a stereotype of this scary clown. And in England somewhere, a man started dressing up as a clown and appearing on the street, standing there and looking. Or, for example, there is a house and there is a lawn and a fence. He can stand behind the fence, just stand there and stare at you. At wow. your window, and then he suddenly, like, you know, like in those cartoons, he very quickly goes away or runs away. And they said that he stood somewhere in the street with balloons, and so it was very creepy. And he set up his Facebook page, and there were some posts like, "Did you see me somewhere like on the street earlier?" Or "Who wants to play with me?" Or something like that. It was somewhere in the middle of September, this September.
Oh, creepy. But I like the idea. People are becoming more inventive in terms of scaring people.
The question from Facebook. Would you ever dare to adopt a child of a different nationality?
Of course, that's my dream.
Mm-hmm. Are you planning to be next Angelina Jolie?
No, I only want to adopt one child. I'm
from
not that
country?
Crazy.
Do you have any
preferences?
Yes.
I'd like to adopt a black child, but as for the country, I haven't really thought about it.
If you had an option to adopt a Russian child or a child from, I don't know, from somewhere from Africa, from Nigeria, for example, would you prefer a Russian child?
Well, yeah, it's not the same as choosing a furniture.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have some kind of connection mm-hmm. with the child you are going to adopt.
Okay.
So I don't think that it would depend on the country of origin.
Yeah, of course.
If I see the child and I feel some physical connection, then I wouldn't really care whether this child is originally from Russia or from Nigeria.
But I guess it's hard to establish that kind of connection if you haven't really
communicated with
this. Yes, like had some time.
Well, that's the point. You have to if you are seriously planning to adopt a child, you have to visit the orphanage
mm-hmm.
several times,
mm-hmm.
play with children. If there is a child you like, then just spend some more time with this
mm-hmm,
child.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel something, then yeah, go on. But if there is nothing, then why, I guess. So it wouldn't depend on the nationality, I guess.
Even if there would be some kind of differences, it will change. It's still like in the beginning of this process
mm-hmm.
of growing. So
yeah.
Even like if you take a child from it's a different country, like third
but,
world country.
In Russia, I've just been recently talking to one of my students, and he said, and he's in real estate, and I asked him whether he would be okay if he had a black employee, and he said that he actually had once,
mm-hmm.
and he told me the story that once some Ivan called him and speaking perfect Russian said that he wanted to work for him, so they arranged an interview, and then my student asked, "How would I recognize you?" And he said, "Oh, you will recognize me." So when they met, he saw that Ivan was black, very, very black, and he was the result of the Moscow Olympiada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
the result of
the
Moscow Olympiada. I like the way that you
Olympic Games in Moscow, a lot of women got pregnant and delivered black children. And so he said that he grew up in the orphanage, and but he was like 100% Russian, Ivan. it's been a very hard life for Ivan in Russia to be that black.
We already said that, like, the United States, there is a lot of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that in Russia there is a lot of racism?
I think, of course.
Well, if we do not talk about, you know, this immigrants. Like Jews, for example, or even like black-collared people.
Black-collared people, of course. I think yes, especially if they live in Russia, not just visiting. But as for the Jews, not sure. Don't really
because
have.
Because I can only I can judge by. You know, like a province. In province especially, there is a lot of racism. If you remember, we had this comedian, or still have this comedian, what's his name? Mikhail Zadornov. We grew up on that kind of comedy. And he always speaks about Americans saying how that they are idiots, yeah? That they are fools.
Somebody sued him, I heard.
But he still continues talking about it because right now
he can't stop it.
He can't stop it. He's like it's probably his, you know, sort of brand. He has to stick to it. I saw that he stopped, and just recently there was I was talking to my mother.
How is that called? The recession? No, the if an addict starts doing drugs again. How's that called? There's a word.
Recidive.
Recidive.
Yeah, and I think that, well, again, if we speak about majority, the majority that Putin tries to win, the majority watches TV, and I can judge by my parents, or just like people who surround me, because I live in that community, a standard, if you take like a... an average man, a man on the street, yeah, in Russia, especially in province. It's a person who watches TV. He watches this, and maybe even subconsciously, he starts to agree with that point of view,
mm-hmm.
that Americans are idiots, because Russians like to think that they are a special nation, that they are here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's always been this, you know, the talk about how Russians... how the Russian nation is the superior nation, and no one right now understands it, but there will be time that only we will stand. And yeah. Zadornov, what he says, it's part of it, part of this philosophy, and he contributes a lot to this philosophy, and it's very bad because it makes us. Maybe it makes us proud, but proud of not very good things actually about us.
Yeah.
So about very wrong things actually. We have to look up to other nations. Try to, you know, maybe like Japanese. The Japanese, they take only good from Europe, from the United States. You know, they adjust it to their reality at the same time, trying to not forget about their traditions because they are a very close community. But Russians, I think that they take only the bad things about from Europe and America.
What about you? Would you adopt a child from another country?
Yeah, I don't see any difference, actually. I understand that nations are different. A person who comes from Italy is different from a person who comes from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it at the, you know, the basic level, still people, especially children, it's kind of, it doesn't matter. Next week, Thursday, October the 10th, at 8 p.m. Moscow time. If you want to join us, it is going to be a lecture. Leave us your contact information either in any of social networking sites or send it to info@linguisto.ru. And maybe if you have any questions to us, email them to us at info@linguistov.ru. Nice talking to you. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Likewise. Yeah. So long.
Bye.
Lots of books and discussions at www.lingvistov.ru.